Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So. KFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento,
ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Hi, everybody. We're back. Well, I'm back. These guys have been here. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. Happy Monday. Happy June, everybody. June 2nd. 2025. Thank you everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch. If you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, please hit the thumbs up. Please subscribe to the channel if you have not. That's youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Good morning everybody on ESPN 1320 AM. Maybe you're on 98.5 FM HD2. If you're listening on the radio, salute. We appreciate you immensely. And of course, if you're on the free Odyssey app, hello and good morning. And those of you listening on the podcast feed, the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, which Joe works diligently to have up every day, we appreciate you and hope the future is going well. All right, we've got sports things to talk about, but I just had the longest week off of my life. I felt like I was gone for 3 weeks.
It did feel like, and it was a short week, so there's only four days in the week.
Right.
But it did feel like you had like a whirlwind tour of like America.
It was insane. More just kind of the West Coast briefly.
Yeah.
But it was so Friday we did the show, right? Here's how my week went. Friday we did the show. I drove home. We finished packing. My folks dropped us off at BART and we took BART into SFO. We flew up to Seattle. We got to our Airbnb at like 12:30 Saturday morning. We go to bed. We get up, we head down to the Stray Kids concert at T-Mobile Park.
Okay.
Beautiful ballpark, by the way. I have concert stuff for you, but that was just what we did that day. Sunday, we had the Pop Culture Museum, which is a block and a half from where we stayed. It was awesome, right underneath the Space Needle. As we were leaving the Pop Culture Museum, we're like, wow, we're out of gas. Let's just walk kind of through this park real quick, and then we'll go back to our Airbnb and we'll hang out all day. Went to go walk through this park. There is a massive, like, folk art festival going on.
Oh.
Like, a full, like, state fair-sized festival of local creators, local restaurants. Just an unbelievable... We spent probably 3 hours there and didn't even see everything. It was insane.
That's crazy.
It was incredible. It was such a cool, like, like, you could go up the Space Needle, right? And you've done a thing in Seattle. We went to Pike Place. Went to Pike Place Market, which is huge, by the way. It was not ready for that. I'd never been to Seattle before. We'll get to Pike Place in a second. But it was just this really cool way to experience the Pacific Northwest and Seattle without doing the normal touristy things.
Seattle's a great city.
Really good city.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's a very, very cool city.
It made me hate the Seahawks, like, a little less.
Okay.
Like, I still can't stand them, but I just like, oh, I get like the infatuation with Seattle now.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it as a city. So I have Seattle takes coming up. So Sunday we did that, walk around all day, finally make it back to the Airbnb, got some dinner, watched movies, and called it a day. Monday was Pike Place Day, and we spent all day down in Pike Place doing stuff.
Cool.
Tuesday, we fly back, and we go to our house. We go home, spend the night in our house Tuesday. Wednesday, wake up, pick up Kendrick Lamar tickets from my buddy in Walnut Creek, drive out to the Oakland airport to pick up our friend Samantha, who flew up for a couple of concerts.
Okay.
Wednesday, get to our hotel, eat something real quick, get ready, and it's Stray Kids at Oracle Park. Unbelievable show, by the way. Shout out to Stray Kids and JYP. They know how to put on a concert. So had a great time. Had never seen Stray Kids live before. Got to see them on the first two nights of their North American tour. It was amazing. Back to the hotel to go to bed. Thursday, wake up, go pick up my buddy Randy, who flew in from Arizona, walk around Union Square all day, back to the hotel, get ready, go to Kendrick Lamar Thursday night. Friday, we hung out in San Francisco before our friends departed to their various airports. And then we go home, spend the night at home Friday night. Wake up Saturday, my buddy Chris got married to his beautiful wife, Julia. Shout out to the Bauer Soxes. Congratulations. That happened in Sonoma. And then we crashed in Sonoma Saturday night because driving back at 12 o'clock after a full wedding sounded awful. So we crashed up in Sonoma. And then yesterday had a day at home to just chill. And now we're back here.
Seems like you need a vacation from your vacation.
Legit. Like, as we were going to bed last night, I was like, I'm so happy to get back into the work routine. Because I like this job so much.
Yeah.
I love doing this. I love hanging out with you guys. So getting to go back to work was actually like a, oh, God, finally. Just get to go back into my normal daily routine. It's great.
I think
it's a whirlwind. I'll never do it again.
When I was younger, I used to like to do like the 9-day vacation. So you bookend the weekends, right? And so leave as quickly as you can on a Friday and don't get back until Sunday night. And then you spend the whole time. But I've found that like having that extra day to recover,
yes,
is like so incredibly crucial now.
Vital.
Yeah.
Especially like I didn't. So again, I'm not old in the sense of like people who are 106 are old, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not old in that sense, but I'm old in the sense that I can't. I just can't function socially the way I used to. And I knew this, and that's why we did this kind of whirlwind trip this year, because if Stray Kids tours again, they've got their mandatory military service coming up, so that's a couple of years that they're going to be out. So like, even if they tour again, I'm going to be in my late 30s. I'm in a different space in life. I'm not going to. So that's why we decided when we went to Seattle. So some Seattle things. One, before we get to the concert, Lyft drivers in Seattle. One, it's super expensive there because they get paid like actual people.
Okay.
They don't live on tips, which is kind of cool. But Lyft drivers in Seattle, all extremely nice and not doing the small talk. There's nothing worse than getting in a Lyft or an Uber or any kind of rideshare, and the driver wants to small talk.
Okay.
So where are you from? The Bay Area. Oh, I got some family in the Bay Area. Okay, like, do I know them? Like, I don't, so, but no, they were, where are you guys from? Oh, we're visiting from San Francisco. Oh, that's awesome. Have you been to Seattle before? No, it's our first time. Okay, recommendations. What kind of food do you like to eat? What are you going to go visit? Hey, don't pay to go up to the top of the Space Needle. Go to this park. You can see everything. You got to hit West Seattle. Just giving us all these, our first three Lyft drivers all did that.
Nice.
It was so great. They were so kind. Welcome to the city. Thanks for bringing the beautiful weather. That's the other thing. The weather, incredible the entire time.
You got lucky because it does rain a lot.
Yes. And yeah. That's where I'm not going to get tricked into being like, I got to go to Seattle all the time now. Because one of my friends who lives there was like, wait till the winter when the sun rises at 9 a.m. and sets at 3 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds horrible. I don't want anything to do with that. But it was the high of the entire spectrum of temperatures while we were there. Didn't rain. At least it rained overnight, like a little bit one day. The high that we saw was like 73, and the low that we saw was like 61.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, you live in the Bay Area, so you get that sort of like.
But like, I don't, because where I live so far into the East Bay that I get the 107s.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, the closer you are to the water, the less yes. temperature changes.
Yes.
Yeah, so farther inland, the hotter it gets.
And it's just really nice.
Yep.
The Museum of Pop Culture was really cool. Fun little thing.
Okay.
I don't think I'd ever have to do it again.
We did like
see what I need to see there.
The glass gallery, which is right there.
Yes.
That is absolutely incredible.
If we'd had another day, that's what we want to go do next time.
Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing.
Really, really cool spot. The concert itself was a mess. So we had floor seats, but we had pit, so it's standing.
Oh, yeah.
We don't get seats. We're standing, yep. Right? But we were 10 feet from the stage. It was amazing. It was such a cool experience. The experience inside the concert was not bad. on Saturday, we get up, and check-in starts at 10 a.m. You're allowed to start lining up at 8 a.m. This is VIP check-in. Because if you were on the floor, you were VIP.
Okay.
Which means you get in early for sound check, which was cool. You have a VIP merch line, which is separate from the one that wrapped all the way down one block around the corner, and we couldn't see the end of the line.
Oh.
People line up days before for merch. And we got to go to this VIP merch line. It was really cool. We were in line for like an hour and a half, which is crazy short compared to the several hours people were waiting for the other merch line, right?
And what time? Wait, so you could get there at 8 and in mm-hmm. at 10 for a concert that doesn't start till like 7?
7:30.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you're just like stuck there all day.
Yes, okay. For the most part. Like, you don't have to be, but so here's what they do. So first of all, we go up, we finally figure out, we get oriented because there's lines everywhere. Just all 45,000 people that were at this show were there when we arrived at noon.
Oh, no.
It was insane. Just a sea of people everywhere. So we're asking T-Mobile park security people, hey, where do we go? They're like, you're in this line, go around. So we go all the way to the back of this line that's all the way down one side of the stadium and then all the way up the other side of the stadium. Just insane. So we're in that line. We're like, okay, this is just the check-in line. We're not going to get to the merch line because it's noon. Doors are at 5. Or no, I'm sorry. Doors are at 4:30. Like, we're going to be in this line for a while. We're not going to be, okay, that's fine. We've made our peace with it. Well, somebody from Live Nation comes up. Salute to Live Nation. And they go, what pit are you? And I went, 1. And they go, okay, you're down to the right. Down to the right? There are so many people here. What does that mean? So we go down to the right, and we get behind this shorter line, and we go, hey, what pit are you? They're like, pit 2. Like, oh, okay, we got to go find a different line. We go walking up, and we find this line that's 4 people long. And we get in this line, and I go, hey, what pit are you? And the girl and the guy she was with, and then the people in front of them were like, we're pit 1, but we don't know where to go. They just told us down here to the right.
Oh.
Okay, I guess we're just here. So we check in. When you check in, you get a wristband with a color associated with the pit that you're in.
Okay.
Seems pretty straightforward. When you line up, there's a flag, pit 1, pit 2, pit 3. You line up with your flag to get into the VIP gate. But there's a caveat. Your wristband has a number on it. They're expecting people at this K-pop show. Again, I love K-pop. I also will fully acknowledge that the fandom gets insane.
Okay.
But you're expecting people at the K-pop show to treat this like they're boarding a Southwest flight. Like, they're just going to go, okay, I'm sorry, what number are you?
A23.
207? Okay, we got to move back. So what number are you? 386? Okay, because we were 520 and 521. So they were expecting people to line up and then just go down and be like, hey, what number are you? Cool. Okay, we're gonna get in line with you. Because the problem is it was sunny. It was very sunny, so it was hot. And so you had this mass of people, this crush of 1,500, 2,000 people
mm-hmm.
who were in the pits and in the seated VIP sections, all trying to stay in these lines, but also get close to the stadium where the shade was.
Oh.
So it's just a blob of people with 6 people that we could tell working for Live Nation. We saw 2 of them. And they would just walk down. And they were like, if you're under 100, move to the front. And then they'd disappear. And then they'd come walking back. If you're under 200, walk with me. It's like gates are at 4:30. Sound check's at 5. It's like 4:38. And from what we can tell, nobody's gone in yet.
Oh, no.
So finally, they did what they should. And they just started going, okay, just open the gates and people can go. And so we probably got in earlier than we were supposed to. But there were a bunch of people lined up there who weren't supposed to be lined up there. It was a disaster. I don't know if San Francisco was any better. Didn't ask, didn't want to know, because we just had regular seats for San Francisco. But it was standing all day.
Oh, yeah.
And
I could not do that.
I learned, dude, I learned about 3:37 p.m., 4 hours before the concert started, this concert that I'm going to stand for 3 hours for, I'm not built like that anymore.
No.
I can't just get up and just go stand around all day.
Yeah, like going to Disney, we can walk 25,000 steps in a day, but the second I have to stand in a line for 45 minutes, back is like, nope,
right.
Nope, we're not doing this.
You're toast.
Yeah.
And at least at Disneyland, you're sitting on an attraction, or there's benches you can
sit on. Leaning up against a rail.
You're leaning, yeah. Right. At this, it's like, nah, you're in this merch line, dog. You're standing.
It's just standing. All right. Well, you survived it.
It was worth it, though. It was worth it, though. The show was really cool. They don't do the thing like where they'll play a song and then be like, all right, this next song I wrote in a bathroom at a Denny's when I was 22. And my girlfriend had just left me, and this song just hit me at that point. I just had to write this one down, and hope you enjoy it. Okay, here we go. It's not like that. It's just energy the whole time. They play two slower songs, and then they go back to the front and they acknowledge like, okay, hey, the vibes are down now, so we're going to change that. They do this thing. Everybody cheers. They do all this stuff. And then right back into the energy stuff.
Mm.
It was a blast. Had so much fun. Got two different vantage points at the two different shows. Shout out to Stray Kids. Shout out to JYP. And then, of course, the Kendrick show was amazing. Had an awesome time at Kendrick and SZA.
Nice.
It was a really, really cool week that I will never, ever, 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 ever do again.
Yeah, that's one of those things you do, and you're like, okay, that was a lot.
Right. It's like, I was going to make a joke. I'm not going to make a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, had a lot of fun. All right. The NBA final schedule is stupid. We have to talk about it. This finals is also bringing up the single worst sports talking point. We'll get to that. We'll have Kings offseason stuff for you, and a tragic loss in the sports community. That we will get to when we get back as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's with us. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Home.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle, Joe Brazil's here. I cannot believe that the NBA Finals schedule is such that we have a week off between games.
Is it a full...
After one of the series went to six games.
Okay.
Because game six was Thursday.
Huh.
Of Pacers Knicks. And we don't get another game until Thursday.
Wait, that's when it was that they finished? No, I thought that was Friday. Am I wrong? Was it Friday?
When I thought it was Thursday night.
When did I watch that game.
Might have been Friday.
Yeah,
it's pretty sure it was Thursday.
Is I'm it not
Wednesday?
Sure. No.
Joe, help us.
Yeah, when was the last game?
Knicks Pacers played on Saturday.
Saturday.
What was I doing on Saturday?
You were at a wedding.
Oh, there was a wedding on Saturday. That's right. So they played Saturday. Game five was Thursday.
Yes.
Game five was Thursday.
We're on track.
Yes.
There we go.
That's where. Okay, so game five was Thursday. So we have 5 days off between games.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's too many days.
Well, that, and I think game five for the Western Conference was on Friday and was on Wednesday. So Wednesday and then Thursday. And then if there was a game six for the Western, it would have been Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have a game on Friday.
Right.
Then game six for the East was on Saturday. And then that series ended.
And we have 5 days off. I don't know, man. I get that you got to have a little bit of a break, right? You want the teams as fresh as possible for the finals.
Yeah, but it's a lot. But then again, like, look, the NFL does do 2 weeks off before the Super Bowl.
But that's at least...
That's too much as well.
It is. I get, again, why they want to have the teams have a bye. Because you want the teams fresh for the championship. But man, I feel like the NBA, the NFL just carries momentum constantly, right? Like it's just a juggernaut of a league.
Mm-hmm.
They could just schedule a game tomorrow. They'd be like, hey, the Bengals and Patriots are going to play tomorrow. And it would get massive ratings. Like people would tap in.
Yep.
And there would be breakdowns of like, how do the Bengals and Patriots match up? Drake May versus Joe Burrow. And let's talk, like there's all these with... The NBA, it doesn't feel like there's the pre-matchup analysis in the same way there is in the NFL. And it's more just, okay, everybody has their thoughts, and now we're going to discuss game by game. And it just, the excitement of, wow, okay, the Pacers punched their ticket. Okay, here we go. Pacers, Thunder. And then it's, meh. All right, Sunday, such there's nothing.
Yeah.
Monday, today, we got nothing. Tuesday, we get nothing. Wednesday, we got like, oh my God. By the time Thursday comes around, it's going to be like, oh yeah, that's right, the finals.
Oh yeah.
Thunder Pacers, yeah, of course.
But we can talk about the A's losing 16 of 17.
Ooh.
We'll get that to talk about.
Oh.
Do we have to?
We don't have to.
They scored first in their last three games against Toronto and couldn't win any of them.
Just watching their bullpen implode every single game is one of the saddest things of all time. Just spend some money.
And it's not even like a, oh man, Marcotte is just pushing the wrong buttons. Oh, he keeps leaning on player X too often. Like, nah, man, there's just nobody in the bullpen that can get outs.
They're all bad. Like even Mason Miller has not been good.
It's so rough, man.
It's crazy too. Like Jacob Wilson went 4-for-4 yesterday with a sack fly. He's batting .357. He's second in Major League Baseball in batting right now.
Yeah.
So he's been incredible. And then this other thing, Tyler Soderstrom got thrown out of the game yesterday for arguing balls and strikes, which was dumb. But they've had to put him back at first base because Nick Kurtz got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing, Soderstrom has 12 homers on the season. 11 have come while he's playing first base.
Yeah.
Like when they put him in left field and he's concentrating so much on playing left field that he's not being able to hit.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
It's really weird.
How there's like you wouldn't think that positional splits would matter. But I was I did some work covering the Dodgers last year as a little side gig. And that was Miguel Rojas. Is the same kind of thing. It's like if he played, I think it was if he played short, he was batting like .340, and when he played third, he was batting like .210.
Oh.
Just a really, really strange thing.
You're seeing it with Soderstrom.
Yeah. Comfortability plays such a big part in this game.
Yeah. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a routine aspect of it too. Like when you play first base, you know, you're going to go out there, you're going to toss a ball around the infield.
That too. You use your body differently too. So your swing might change a little bit depending on how if you're overextending your arm, tons of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, maybe he'll start raking. And maybe the bullpen will start getting outs.
And you said you'd take Kyle Harrison for Soderstrom?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I don't want to do that either.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know why the Giants would give up on Kyle
Harrison.
I thought I heard that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just watching them, like their pitching is just so bad.
The thing that sucks is early in the year when they were above .500, talking about the A's here, early in the year when they were above 500, you're going, oh man, they're okay. They're in a good spot. They can stay above 500, stay afloat, make a couple of trades at the deadline, and all of a sudden they're dangerous. Like they started to be that sexy, sneaky playoff pick. Like, oh man, are the A's fun? Are the A's good? Now they are so far out of the picture.
Oh yeah.
That I don't think they're going to be active at the deadline. In terms of, now granted, we've got a month until then, but in terms of adding bullpen help, they might make a couple of small moves, like as a long term, if there's somebody, you know, in Double A somewhere that they can get for nothing.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's too late already. I mean, when you lose this many games.
Did you lose 16 of 17 games?
Yeah, it's really, really sad to watch. I was watching, was it Saturday? I think it was Saturday, Jeffrey Springs. He walked six batters and hadn't even gotten out yet in the third.
That's so brutal.
Six walks. Like, what are you doing?
That's really bad.
Yeah, just like for like a veteran professional pitcher, like, come on, man. Yeah, it's been really brutal to watch, like the implosion of their starting pitching, and but also their bullpen's just been absolutely horrible.
And their one win since May 13th was a 5-4 victory over the Phillies.
Yep.
Where the A's led 3-0 after one, and it was tied at 3 going into the sixth.
Yeah.
And then they actually went down in that game in the eighth and played it a couple in the bottom of the eighth to win it 5-4. Like, even that one, they were ahead, ultimately lost the lead, had to come back. It's just it's a frustrating, frustrating team.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's where the A's are at.
on a good note, Severino's pitching well. You might be able to sell him at the deadline.
Yeah, he's pitching really well.
Yeah.
All right. NBA final stuff. The other thing that sucks about the NBA final schedule and having 5 days off between games is that the worst talking point in sports gets hammered over and over and over again.
Oh yeah.
Bro, we need to stop giving a damn about the ratings. If the ratings over, because one season or one finals where the ratings are down is not going to change the trajectory of the league. Now, if we start seeing a 5, 10, 11, 12-year trend of ratings going up, okay, now cool. Now this is going to start affecting the league. But 1 year of Pacers and Thunder, okay, so casual random NBA fan isn't going to tune in. Who cares? I would so much rather have this, because this is a, if you're a basketball fan, which I'm assuming if you're listening to Sports Talk Radio at 10:30 a.m. on June 2nd, you're probably at least a little bit dialed into the NBA. You should be thrilled for this. This is a really, really fun finals matchup.
Well, not only that, but you're talking about a potential face of the NBA in Tyrese Halliburton, one of the most likable players in the league, and the MVP, who's 26 years old and is leading a young team to the finals. Like, this should be, like, high drama.
And two teams that were built the quote-unquote right way.
Yeah.
How many times did we bemoan the Kevin Durant Warriors, the LeBron James Heat, the was the Celtics, the original Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett Celtics?
Yeah.
Like, the super team. Everyone just, oh, no, the super team. We hate the super team. Well, you have a finals matchup of two teams that, like, man, the Thunder made some savvy moves to get Paul George and then re-sign Paul George and then trade Paul George for a bunch of picks. Oh, and they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, good player who's now become a great player, a bunch of second-round picks. You get the Pacers, who make a savvy trade for Domantas Sabonis in that Paul George trade, and then they get Tyrese Halliburton in the deal, and then they make the big swing for Pascal Siakam, and they've developed all these other guys. You get Obi Toppin in there. They give him a role that he never really had in New York. And all of a sudden, like, wow, hey, look, they're a finals team.
Yep.
This is good. Like, this is what everybody always wants. And now nobody's going to watch? Like, that's on them. Like, I don't, like, oh, God, but think of the ratings. Who gives a damn?
Yeah. It's good basketball. That's what you should be pulling for is good basketball. I don't know if it's going to go 5. I don't know if it's going to go 6, if it's going to go 7. I have no idea, but I'm here for it because this is like a matchup of the best offense versus the best defense.
Yes.
And just a really, really fun offensive team versus one of the most incredible defensive schemes we've seen.
Yes.
And I'm here to see like how these two teams match up. And you talk about like the Knicks, like there wasn't a real rotational player. Like Mitchell Robinson a little bit and they had to put him in the, you know, late in the series to, because they couldn't play defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then of course you have like Deuce McBride, right? Outside of that, there's not a player in that series that's playing that the Knicks drafted at all.
Ugh.
Like their starting five, their real starting five, not the one that got like the end of the series kind of switcheroo.
Mm-hmm.
But their starting five, not a single one of those guys was drafted by the Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, and you get to OKC and so many of their players are their own players. You know, so many of the Indiana Pacers were drafted by the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like more authentic to see teams that are that aren't just built around like the elite of the elite superstar. They both have superstar players.
Sure, sure, sure.
But they're more developed superstars in their systems than they are just went out and bought somebody. Went out and gave up all your first round picks for somebody.
Yeah, it's just not the way the league is going. And I think that that's one of the juxtaposition between how the Thunder and the Pacers have gotten where they are versus, first of all, it's two small market teams. I was looking this up on the internet. So, Indiana among the major sports TV markets, and that included college sports, which I thought was interesting, but Indianapolis is 25th. They're the 25th ranked television market.
Okay.
And Oklahoma City is 47th.
Yeah, both this is, well behind Sacramento.
Yeah, way behind Sacramento.
Which is either 19th or 20th, depending on which rating you look at.
So this is good, seeing small markets ascend this way.
Yep.
But it's the juxtaposition of the way they've done it versus what happened with the Kings, I think, is really jarring. Forget the Tyrese Halliburton part of this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You had an Oklahoma City team that everybody's known for the last couple of years, like, oh, they're on the way up. And they got to a point last year where they hit a ceiling and they went, okay, we're going to bring in Isaiah Hartenstein and we're going to bring in Alex Caruso. We're going to get rid of Josh Giddey. Okay, we're pulling the plug on the Josh Giddey part of this experiment. He doesn't fit with what we want to do moving forward, so he's gone. We're going to bring in Alex Caruso. We're going to make these tweaks. Indiana, they reached a ceiling where they thought they were, and they said, hey, you know what? Pascal Siakam's available. We're going to give up Bruce Brown and
a bunch of picks.
And then one of their other
I can't remember. What did they give up to?
It was a big. Not Jairus Walker. He's still there.
Oh,
what's his name?
Kira Lewis Jr. and Jordan Nwora?
Jordan Nwora was the name I was thinking of.
Oh, got it.
So they gave up a couple of players and said, cool, we're taking this swing, and we're going to pay him, and this is going to be... They were patient, and they took a big swing.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings didn't do that, and I think it's a really interesting team-building philosophy and a change in team-building philosophy, and I think you're going to see more teams doing what Oklahoma City and Indiana have done, and instead of going, like, I'm really interested to see how the Kevin Durant trade market works out this summer. I'm interested to see how the Giannis trade market works out this summer, because it is becoming more and more difficult in the NBA to just go, yeah, we have a star, we're going to go win now. Like, it doesn't play like that. Building depth, developing stars, like you just said, that so looks like the way to go, and it's especially frustrating knowing that, like, man, Sacramento was there. They had the stars. They had the right players. They just didn't take the swing.
They didn't take the one extra swing that you have to take. They went full on Terrence Long. They just left the bat on the shoulder.
You don't have to.
They just left the bat on the shoulder. Just like, don't leave the bat on your shoulder, man.
Yeah, you got to swing.
Yeah, and even, you know, we get to, like, to this trade deadline. It, like, you let them sell off. Like, what were you doing? Not even equal trades. Like,
yeah.
Okay. I get it. They reset their depth a little bit as far as picks, and they brought in a player who is very talented offensively.
Mm-hmm.
But you just really damaged what anything that you were building.
Yeah,
like you went backwards, like big time, and you went backwards during the offseason, and you went backwards at the trade deadline the previous year.
I went backwards, and I don't think you had to.
No,
I think the most frustrating thing. So, my hope for whatever Scott Perry and the front office decide to do is that they're watching what's happening with Oklahoma City and what's happening with Indiana. And there's certain parts of those builds, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander turning into an MVP is kind of an insane outcome.
Of course.
Like he was a good player in LA. Like you could see, okay, man, Shai's a hooper. Like when they traded him, it was like, ooh, man, they gave up a really good player, but man, they're getting Paul George, who's like an MVP candidate prior to arriving in LA. So I don't think you can copy those builds directly just because the assets are a little different. The players in-house are already a little different. Oklahoma City has hit on a bunch of second-round picks, which I don't think is sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the very clear path and direction, the willingness to, oh, we're at this ceiling. We need one more move to break through this ceiling. Being willing to make that move, even if, you know what, there's a chance it doesn't work. But also, if you stand pat, you're going to wind up where Sacramento is now.
Yep.
My hope is that they take that swing and realize that, like, man, you know what? There might be a couple of steps backwards. This may not be a linear ascent, but patience is going to be so, so key here because Oklahoma City got time. They got patience. They got knocked out early in the playoffs last year, and it wasn't like, oh, my God, what do we do to tear it down? It was like, what little tweak can we make to get better? And I think you saw the same thing with Indiana.
Yeah.
And
what I like the Knicks, they're at this point too where they extended themselves greatly to mm-hmm. go out and add all these pieces, but you're one or two or three role players away from maybe getting over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And you if you're patient and you go into this offseason and you make smart moves, people want to play in New York. You make smart moves where you're bringing in guys that can actually help you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason to say that they won't be right back in it next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, like, there is a way in which you can see them implode.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, already we're starting to see the murmurs of them imploding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you built your team a way that it cost you all of your depth to get the five core.
Mm-hmm.
If you just allow yourself a little bit of time to rebuild that set a 6, 7, 8 man rotation,
mm-hmm.
you could easily be NBA champion next year. Mm-hmm. Like, but I don't think it'll happen. Like, everybody wants it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough.
Yeah. There's a fine line to walk between, hey, we're building something and we're stuck in mediocrity. Like, there has to be some level of ascension. And obviously we'll be following the Kings offseason very closely here on ESPN 1320. And figuring out if they can put the right pieces together. Speaking of putting the right pieces together, the 49ers made an interesting trade on Friday. You guys got to talk about it a little bit. I have not gotten to discuss that. We'll do that next. Talking about the Bryce Huff trade. The 49ers finally getting active in the offseason. I think it's an important move, and we'll talk about it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Joe Brazil. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, we're back. That's stuff going on.
We do.
Before we get to the Bryce Huff trade, which I would like to talk about, I know that you and Sean discussed it a little bit already. That's KCRA3's Sean Cunningham. A salute, by the way, to Sean Cunningham, Jesse Tapia, Joe Brazil, and you, James, for filling in and helping out while I was gone.
Yeah.
It's immensely appreciated.
We had a good time.
Good. So, there was a death in the sports world yesterday. John Brinkus, who you will know from Sports Science. Mm-hmm. It was announced yesterday that he had passed. His family said he lost his battle with depression. And that is obviously devastating. I feel like John Brinkus is one of those people that, and I'm not just saying this because of the situation, it feels like he, I think, made everybody a better sports fan, mm-hmm. just by introducing science and physics and math into what was happening in sports. It wasn't just like, Randy Johnson throws a fastball and he throws it really fast. It's like, oh no, hey, here's the biomechanics behind it. And I think that kind of ushered in the, or at least helped usher in the, what's the word I'm looking for? The like prevalence of analytics in sports fandom.
Well, that I think the acceptance of it.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I think...
acceptance is a better word.
Yeah, like, Bill James, right, is the father of, like, stats in baseball, mm-hmm. right? Like, the advanced metrics, mm-hmm. sabermetrics, right? And I think what he did for baseball is incredible, right? Mm-hmm. We have Dean Oliver, and there are some others in the baseball world that really helped advance stats. I think what John Brinkus did was... he took the idea of stats and he made it into something that you could visually see and why it mattered. Mm-hmm. Like I remember he did a breakdown of Chad Johnson as a wide receiver and how much ground Chad Johnson can cover in a split second. And, mm-hmm. and he, you know, Chad Johnson is like 6 foot tall, maybe 215 or whatever.
Yeah.
And you look at like his body and he could basically cover the size of an elephant on the field. Like when the ball was in the air, it didn't matter where he was on his break. He could get to anything in the size of a gigantic elephant
on
the field.
Crazy.
And so his ability to make a visual representation of statistics and physics that made sense,
mm-hmm.
I think it really, really struck a chord with people.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I super... sorry for his family that they're going through this right now and that, you know, friends and everyone else that, you know, you're always left with, you know, when someone loses a battle with depression, you know, could you have done more?
Mm-hmm.
I think he brought the why.
Yeah.
The why it matters to statistics and analytics to like a broad, you know, audience. And
yeah.
I think that, you know, really groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah, and doing so in a really cool and interesting way. Depression is real, man. It is a very real illness that tons of people suffer from on, you know, varying scales. Get help, man.
Yeah.
The resources are out there, and it is a very, very serious thing. I know that we, you know, people make jokes about it and stuff, and they hide their mental illnesses behind or things they're going through behind humor and jokes, especially online. It's serious, Yeah. Very, very serious stuff. So we're here. We see you. We hear you. And if anybody ever needs anything, you know, you can reach out to us. If you just need an ear or whatever it is, we're here for you.
Yeah. Check up on your friends. Tell your friends
absolutely.
You love them.
Absolutely.
Tell your friends you love them. Give them hugs.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Anyways, now we're going to transition. Thank you. 49ers traded for Bryce Huff.
Yes.
Really, really interesting move for San Francisco because I think they still need defensive end depth. It's a thing I will shout from the mountaintops. Mm-hmm. It is Nick Bosa. You can think the world of Mykal Williams. He is still a rookie. We see better prospects flame out all the time. So that is a massive question mark. You have... who else is over there? Yair Gross-Matos is there. Somebody like Sam Okwuonu. Like, you get all these... Every name I'm going to throw out here is like a, ooh. Like, that's not a person you want starting. Mm-hmm. Bryce Huff is a legitimate NFL player. Now, the question is, and this is what everybody is kind of trying to figure out, he had 10 sacks in 2023. That was his third year in Robert Saleh's defense. And he finally broke out, had this huge year, relays that into a three-year $51.1 million contract with the Eagles. Now he goes to Vic Fangio's defense, very different scheme from what he was doing with Robert Saleh, and struggled to the point that Jason Dumas, who works at a, I forget the sports station he works at in Philly. I had it written down. And now I can't remember it. He reported that in the building in Philly that he was like viewed as a non-player.
Huh.
Like he was not going to be a guy for them. But like I said, a very, very different scheme. So we don't know the exact compensation yet that the 49ers are giving up. It was reported as a mid-round pick. I don't know if that's a mid-round pick in 2026 or 2027. I don't know if that means a fourth-round pick or a sixth-round pick.
That's weird that we still don't know.
So... Look, man, here's where it's at. Even if he's a rotational edge rusher who is a situational passing downs only, although he's been a pretty good run defender in his career, passing downs only, just pin his ears back, get after the quarterback, mm-hmm. he's their most known quantity outside of Nick Bosa now.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have an entire defense that's built around, hey, we're going to rush the passer, we're going to affect the quarterback, and that is the number one priority of the defense is to make the quarterback uncomfortable and throw the ball before he wants. And that's how we're going to generate turnovers, et cetera, et cetera. If that's going to be your defensive ethos, you need players like Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say he's going to go get 10 sacks. But if you can get 5.5, 6 sacks out of him and just regular pressure at the spot opposite Nick Bosa, where they've really struggled to find somebody who can consistently get pressure. I think this is well worth it. Even if it's a fifth round pick, I would happily give that up for a known quantity in the NFL like Bryce Huff.
Yeah. So for me, this is what I've kind of been hoping for is that, you know, we get past the, it's a June 1st designation, right? Mm-hmm. So when you cut players, but also once you sign players after that date, it doesn't impact your compensatory picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that the 49ers are extremely active on this exact trade market. And maybe that's why they're not putting a number on what pick they're trading, mm-hmm. because they don't know what comp picks are going to get. But the formula, they should probably have a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
But I think that the 49ers, because they've had so many players leave, they're going to be a team that loads up on comp picks again.
Mm-hmm.
And so why not, like, go out and get players that are legitimate NFL players, mm-hmm. that for whatever reason don't fit where they're at, or a team just says okay when you offer something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, I think they still need a wide receiver. I think they could still use another linebacker. I think they mm-hmm. could still use some other depth pieces, offensive guard, like mm-hmm. whatever it might be. Like, go use some of what you just lost to go get some player. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying go spend and go crazy, but like this team isn't that far away. And you've gotten to a point where you don't want to waste some really valuable years of some mm-hmm. players who are aging out
mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a, this is what you have to do. This is, you know, mm-hmm. after you get past the June 1st thing, go out and get some people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. Aldrin J, for example, asks, would you go sign Von Miller for depth? Like, yeah, man. If Von Miller wants to play in San Francisco, Von Miller might be at the point where he's going, I'm playing for Buffalo or Kansas City or Philly or Detroit, and that's it. Or whatever teams he views as the top contenders. But he might be at that stage of his career. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're the 49ers, that's the kind of player you want to go get. You mentioned a wide receiver. I saw a thing today. I know the Patriots just signed Stephon Diggs, but his contract is also built where they could just cut him this year. Mm. And if Stephon Diggs is going to get let go, sure, go get another veteran receiver. And I know he's coming off the ACL, and that's at age 32. But you're not looking for prime Stephon Diggs. You're looking for a depth piece that you know, hey, if this guy has to give me 30 snaps in a game, I know what I'm getting in those 30 snaps.
Yeah, because as of right now, the only receiver you have that you know can actually suit up and play is Juwan Jennings. It's,
yes.
That's it for the first 8 weeks of the season, probably at least.
Everything else is a massive question mark.
Yeah, yeah. Ricky Pearsall is now out for the remainder right. of the summer with a hamstring.
And that's the thing with, just while we're on the subject of Ricky Pearsall, even before he got shot in the chest, which is insane,
yep.
he dealt with two separate injuries in camp last year that kept him out of camp even before he got shot, which yeah. is still just a wild-ass thing to say.
It is. Well, that, and I like Bryce Huff just turned 27. Like, yeah. you went out and got a guy who's under contract for a couple of years. They reworked his contract before he got traded. And you know that he's young. You know that he understands the system. It's Robert Saleh. He knows Robert Saleh trusts him.
And
so,
and yeah. that's the thing is, if you're the 49ers, you trust Robert Saleh. Mm-hmm. And if Robert Saleh says, hey, we need to go get that guy, to the point that there was some surprise from the Philly side that, hey, they got something for him in a trade because they were just going to release him, which means to me, Robert Saleh went, we can't let him get to the open market because if he's released, he's an unrestricted free agent, he can go anywhere. We need to make sure we get him in our building.
Yeah.
And if you're going to give Robert Saleh the keys to your defense, you have to pull the trigger when he says, I need that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the 49ers, you're just like, all right, we're trusting it. And like I said, it's a player who has a really, really nice season under his belt in 2023. This isn't some rando who's just been on practice squads.
Yep.
I think it's the right type of move they need to be making. And you're right. Could you make a similar move on the offensive line? Give yourself some depth there. If it presents itself, they absolutely should be.
Yep.
Because there's not a spot where somebody in the chatty house earlier, and I want to talk about this in relation to team building in the NBA and the Kings and stuff, but it's just like, never stop adding talent.
No.
Even if it's a reserve, even if it's like, because, man, that guy might wind up needing to play major snaps in a playoff game.
Yep.
And you'd way rather have quality depth than not. Like, we get so far into it that having good players is still the goal. Mm-hmm. And having better players is still the goal. And the 49ers have plenty of assets, both draft pick-wise and salary cap-wise, to go make a couple of these kind of low-level moves that we're talking about. All right. Let's get back to the NBA. We've got finals coming up. We've got Kings offseason stuff to get to. There were a couple things you guys talked about that I want to revisit. And we have to get back to the team building thing and some of the things the Kings need to be keeping in mind as they try and navigate a potentially tricky offseason. We'll get that coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's with us. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program, and it's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
at Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more Messi. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to Messi exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessi. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.